Follow us on Twitter at RTE Mooney.
Good evening and welcome to our special Mooney Show preview of the 2016 Eurovision Song Contest. On the 61st anniversary of its foundation, the Eurovision will take place in Stockholm's Globe Arena, drawing acts from 42 countries, whose every move will be charted by more than 1,500 accredited journalists from around the globe. With a TV audience of more than 180 million viewers, it is still one of the biggest TV shows in the world. And the sound of that music reminds us that over the coming week, from the comfort of our own couch, we can once again look forward to luxuriating in a feast of flamboyance with a panoply of precocious pyrotechnics lighting ludicrously lavish sets, illuminating the crazy costumes and outrageous outfits that we've all come to know and love so well. And that's just the presenters. And of course, there's the music.
From the fading light of life, rise like a phoenix, out of the ashes seeking rather than vengeance.
I'm reliably informed that the lineup comprises neither Austrian bearded ladies, Russian grannies, nor a single Romanian Dracula. But this year's crop of Euro pop hopefuls does involve Reika from Switzerland, who'll be taken to the stage with her bra on fire, standing beneath a digital waterfall performing a pee-pee dance. Mikhail Szpak from Poland, who'll serve up androgynous realness, draped in a metallic silver panel coat, giving the effect of a jacket potato. And Ivan from Belarus, who's threatening to perform naked, surrounded by wolves. Now, Norway retains its dubious claim to fame for coming last a record 11 times. It's hard to imagine that any act is likely to surpass the success of 1974 winners ABBA. And our own Johnny Logan more than merits his designation as a true Eurovision legend, winning the competition once as a composer for Linda Martin and twice for himself as a performer.
For the last time.
In total, Ireland has won 7 times, but the past few years have not been kind to us, with unsuccessful outings for artists as diverse as Dustin the Turkey, Jedward, and last year's Molly Sterling.
What do you say when words are not enough?
My Swedish words are skål, hejdå, and tack så mycket. It's Nicky Byrne here, representing Ireland in Eurovision 2016.
Don't be afraid, it's only dark till the world turns round. Don't look down if you're afraid of the higher ground.
Now our hopes rest on former Westlifer and current RTE 2FM DJ Nicky Byrne, who along with the other contestants has been in training for battle at the rehearsals which have been going on in the Swedish capital all week.
We'll be standing out in the sun.
Light.
Sing along, boys.
We know what it is. It's now or never.
Oh my God,
I'm
glad you're singing it.
I just told Nicky it's better backing singers on the night.
I love it. I think it's the best song this year. Let me tell you, I put my money where my mouth is, 50 to 1 alongside Wyoming. United Kingdom and Ireland are 50 to 1 in this year's competition as it stands, and I put an entire €1 on them today.
The last of the big spenders.
You're going to lose.
Last of the big something. Ends and enders. Anyway, you're all very welcome along to our special Eurovision preview. We'll be hearing from Nicky very shortly, but with me now in the studio, we have a whole gang of Eurovision Eastas.
Ooh. That's nice.
Paul G. Sheridan, you're very welcome back to the programme.
Thank you so much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Brenda Donoghue, you're welcome along.
I feel like the past student here because they're all so brainy when it comes to the Eurovision.
Martin Jones, you're very welcome indeed.
Thank you very much, Derek.
And Stephen Falloon, General Manager of the Bordgosh Energy Theatre, you're very welcome along too.
I'm delighted to be here.
So there we are, aficionados.
Put
one
on
and
your
all.
Clothes, Stephen. Or,
or as Carrie Crowley once described followers of the Eurovision Song Contest, Eurosexuals. What do you think, Stephen?
I think, do you know what? I think it's a really good year this year. I think there's a lot of really, really good songs, and I can't pick an obvious winner. You know, there's a lot of talk about Russia being the winner, but I don't like it. I think it's actually kind of rubbish, and I think there's an awful lot better there. I think it's going to be between about 5, 6, 7 countries.
Well, Russia are favourites at the moment.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like... It's honestly, I watched the rehearsal of the Russia song. It's very like they're trying to go for a presentation, very like the Sweden song last year, Heroes with the big screen. But it's like he's sort of vomited all over it. There's too much going on. It's kind of a bit crazy. And to me, it just doesn't work. I just don't see it working on the evening.
Russia are always more or less
Martin Jones
in this thing. And they have been for the last few years. They had a better song last year and should have won with last year's song. This year's song is a piece of rubbish, to be quite honest.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh. Do you know that we have a lot of Russian listeners?
I'm sorry to offend any Russian listeners, but that's how I feel.
Are you
going to
be as honest about all the songs this evening?
And from the neighbouring countries as well.
I always am.
But it'll still be top three, because Russia start off with 100 points. Because with all their friends from all the other neighbouring countries, they start off with that advantage. So it will still be there in the final.
Well, we'll come to the politics a little bit later on. But I'm told, Martin Jones, you've got an exclusive.
Yes,
now,
I do.
Can you stand over this exclusive?
I can.
Have you checked your source?
I've checked my
source. How many times have you checked it?
16.
Anna, how many times are you supposed to check sources, you know, just for your authenticity? Is it twice? Same to you with all those fingers in the air. Anyway, go ahead.
Justin, megastar. Justin Timberlake is the interval act.
What?
Naked.
What? For the final or
naked.
For the semis?
For the final.
Yes. Okay.
But what's he singing?
He's got a sweet new song out called Can't Stop This Feeling. It's really, really catchy. It's like Pharrell Williams' Happy. So he must be singing that. And it's a really, really good song.
With kind of a big dance. I thought the big interval act was supposedly something that comes from the country itself.
Yes.
You know, my like thoughts obviously exactly.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
That's
and remember, the voting sequence this year is going to be different to last year.
What? Mm-hmm.
In the sense that we will have two breaks this year. So possibly after we've had the jury vote, we might have Justin come on and sing his new single, and then we'll go to the telly vote.
Where did you hear this, by the way?
Well I can't revolve my sources. My sources, it's a very good source.
Okay, you can't reveal your sources. Yeah, fine, okay. Where did you hear it?
I've actually seen the Lord and Martin.
I mean, you said this is exclusive, so people don't know about this. Well, they do now.
Yes.
Justin Timberlake is going to be the interval act
JT.
At the Eurovision Song Contest. Right. And next year, he'll be in Riverdance. All right, so you don't like Russia, Stephen, so can you tell me who do you like?
Okay, my three favourites at the minute, and it keeps changing all the time, but I'm absolutely in love with Dami Im from Australia.
Me too.
With her song, Sound of Silence.
Me too.
I think she won like a Pop Idol X Factor type show in Australia many years ago. But her voice is just beautifully brilliant, and the chorus is just the catchiest thing in the whole world.
Well, let's have a listen. So there you are, that's Dami, who actually, because I saw her doing her rehearsal, and she's doing a Dana on it, not Dana International, our own Dana from 1970. She's sitting on a box, a plinth.
Oh,
no
really?
Less.
Yeah, and she looks a bit like Bjork.
Oh, no.
Okay, that might go in her favour.
No, it won't. She's sitting on a box.
It won't go in her favour.
Sorry, I love Bjork.
I didn't say anything about Bjork, said she's sitting on a box.
Right.
You remember Dana sitting on the
course,
box, Paul?
Yes,
you were in shorts.
I was, yes, that's true. In Amsterdam, of course. And it's funny because I was listening to Pick of the Pops on Radio 2 today, and they featured the countdown of 1970. And of course, Dana was fallen from number 1 to number 5. And then, of course, they played the runner-up because that was still in the charts. Back in the days when the Eurovision songs were massive mega hits, Mary Hopkin, Knock Knock, Who's There, which took second place that year. Love that song. The only Eurovision entry ever to be released on the Beatles Apple label. How about that now?
How's about that now? Anyway, so that's your top favourite, would you say, Steve?
Oh, no, actually, I'm going to say one. France.
France.
Je cherche with my perfect French accent. Obviously, I'm very fluent.
Well, can I ask
very
a fluent question?
Hang on a second, hang on, lots of voices there.
Yeah, sorry.
Can we have a tiny little list with Brenda? And then, Brenda, you did have your love in the Suez.
Yeah.
The problem with not the problem with France, but there has been some controversy in France. The minister for francophones or whatever he's the minister for is a bit annoyed by the fact that this song has got an English chorus, and he's wondering why. And not only that, they've chosen a Kiss song for the Euros, for the UEFA Championships in 2016. So he's up in arms, and some of the French are up in arms about this. But you like it. The song's in French, but the chorus is in English.
Everything French, the title's French, except for the chorus. But that's what people will remember, is the chorus. And when it's in English, you know, English is still the number one language in Europe. It will get votes. And, you know, he's a man. He's a quite a handsome-looking man. Mm. He is going to get votes. And it's a great song, and it's very uplifting, and it's just really catchy.
Stephen, have you seen the rehearsals for France?
No.
It couldn't be more boring if you tried, okay? Yeah. The set is boring. The lighting
well,
is...
Well, hang on a second, Martin. You're on radio. You can't just say the set is boring. Describe it.
It's just... They're not losing the proper lighting effect. But
describe it for me. What have they got?
It's just not working for me. He is not a great performer. That's also, I think. And also, I think the fact that he's going to sing in English is going to lose him votes.
Oh, no.
Yes, it is, because a lot of people are very upset that France and, may I also say, Spain have decided to cop out and not sing in their own language, which is disgraceful.
But so many countries do that, like Greece do that every year, Finland, Sweden, Denmark.
Stephen, doesn't make it right. I mean, I miss the native languages in the contest.
Absolutely.
That we always used to have.
You and my colleague Peter Brown from upstairs said the same thing to me yesterday.
Oh, right, yes, I was in contact with Peter yesterday myself. But Italy now, look at Italy. One of the strongest songs this year. Nessun grado di separazione.
Beautiful
no degree
song.
Of separation. Most of it is in Italian. She's doing a verse in English. I wish she'd go completely Italian, because you know, it's such a beautiful language to be sung in anyway. And she's going to do it justice. It's going to be top five.
It's
mark
boring.
Words. It's not boring.
It's dull.
It's not. It is the best song by a mile in the competition, the first Italian song. By a mile. It's head and shoulders above everything else. Do you know why? Because they've stuck to originality, except that Spanish thing. And Spain has had such beautiful entries over the years. And this piece of I won't say what is now
representative. We have some emergency suppositories outside if you need them. Did you want to say something, Brenda? You had your hand in the air.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I feel I definitely like your man from Belarus or Bulgaria, wherever he is. I'm among the wolves here. Yeah. Martin Jones, I'd Spain down as my number one song.
Spain is one of my top favourites as well.
It is a terrible song.
She's an amazing voice. Her name is Barry.
I don't disagree with that. I agree with that.
Song.
Yeah, and it's, if you listen to her many
and
say
I
yes.
I would dance all night.
If you listen to her many say yes.
Yeah,
in it.
And I dance to it all. Look, I'm dancing.
Yeah, just, so am I.
It's
yeah.
just
it's dancing outside.
When you think of all the beautiful
number one
Spanish
Spain.
Acts and singers and songwriters that are
listen,
out
listen
there.
Mark,
Spain have had better songs, though.
This is a terrible song.
It's number one.
It stands out in a sea of ballads and mid-tempo. It's one of the only big dance songs.
And she's a terrific voice.
It's 25-1.
But don't forget as well, Barre, who is the singer for Spain, I mean, she's well established. She is a huge star
she's
in her home country.
Already,
yeah, but she's been in the music business 15 years.
So
you know?
You're going Australia or France, you're saying Spain, and Paul G and
I'm
Martin
Italy,
are saying
Netherlands,
Italy.
Netherlands.
Netherlands as well. Can we have one little quick listen to the Netherlands if we can?
Down.
Are you agreeing with that?
I'm not agreeing at all with Netherlands.
Australians, Martin.
Remember,
it's not like you to disagree.
Remember the Dutch song 2 years ago came second with a country feel to
which
it. Which is everybody. This is the same. This will be top three, mark my words.
This is not a good song.
Oh,
it's not as good as The Common Limits was. The Common Limits should have won 2 years ago with that gorgeous song, which was the hit of Eurovision.
Okay,
yeah.
Calm down, dear.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen to it.
Yeah.
Is anybody watered for
I do.
It's like Lady Antebellum, you know that song?
Yes, it's in Southern California. It's very similar to the Albert Hammond song from 72.
So we've got yours, we've got Italy. So, Martin, given that you've knocked everybody else's choices, who do you like?
There is one song.
Okay, what is it?
And that's the Italian song.
Oh, well, we've heard the Italian song already.
But is there a number two, Martin?
There is. There's the Bulgarian song, which is...
Oh, yeah, I like it.
It's a clever song.
If that was a crime, we would be criminals.
It's a great song. And it's a good pop song. If this song was recorded by Beyonce or anybody that's currently happy at the moment, it would be number one. It's a great song, and it'll bring the house down on the night. Watch this one. This is a dark
horse. And she was in it before as well, Martin. She was in it 5 years ago, and she presented the Junior Eurovision last year too in Sofia.
Brilliant. Can I just tell you, I didn't write down the odds for Bulgaria, which means they must be out there at 150 to 1
they're
or something.
They're not at all.
No, no, they're not shorter than that.
Why didn't I write them down?
They're not at all. And they're, I think it could be around the 15 to 1 mark, around that area. Mm. Don't write this off. This is my dark horse.
Bulgaria.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say Israel. I thought you loved the Israel song.
I do indeed. I think he's a brilliant performer. Beautiful song. Stands out. Very, very slow. Gorgeous. Very nice song. Mm. And he's very talented.
Israel.
Mm. Yeah, just a pity about the hairstyle.
Yours?
Dreadful. His.
Oh, it's Flock like of Seagulls.
Do you remember Flock of Seagulls?
I love Flock of Seagulls. Yeah. Wish I had a photograph for you.
Can I just say, can people
can
hear
we
it?
Calm down?
Yeah. Calm down, dears.
Tell me that you understand. Come in close and take my hand. Let's float across the sky like there's no floor and there's no ceiling. And dance with me like we are made of stars. Cause we are, cause we are.
I like it too.
Yeah, I like
it's beautiful. It's very simple and it's beautifully performed. Beautifully staged. No dancers were around.
It's a long time since 1978, Paul G.
But when they first won it, yes. Yep, 78 and 79. Yeah, and then 98. The yeah. Then
yeah, Hallelujah with 79 and Cushman International with Diva.
Anyway, as I said at the beginning of the programme, my whole €1 is on our very own entry. Entry, should I say. Sunlight is
our
the title
Nick.
Of the song.
Yeah.
Nicky Byrne, former Westlifer, is the singer. And Ireland will be taking part in the second semi-final, the first half of the second semi-final, which is on Thursday night. Now, they get two rehearsals this week. Yep. And I caught up with Nicky on the telephone immediately after the second rehearsal of the song today. So have a listen.
Derek.
Nicky, how did it go?
Hello.
How did the second rehearsal go?
Listen, it was great. We're very happy. We're in good shape. Especially after the first rehearsal last week, you know, I managed to hit a ropey note last week. But we got it down and we're very pleased now at the moment.
So what can we expect? What will we see on stage? What will we not see on stage?
The stage, when you see it, is very LED. It's an LED walls, LED floor. So we're delivering what we feel a performance that you could have on any big stage, you know, on a big award shows around the world. The lads and the girls behind us all singing their hearts out and flying the flag as best we can.
I heard that you're not taking any money for it, but you brought a great team with you. Is that true? Is that just a rumour that's going around?
Well, I didn't take any money for not at all. It was an honour to represent the country. I mean, really, really mean that, you know. I don't think anybody would turn this down. God, no. And I encourage anybody and everybody to go for this, you know, in the coming years. Because although a lot of pressure, you know, I think the draw of flying your flag in an international scale is too much of a draw. Big team-wise, I've got my tour manager. He used to tour manage Westlife. He's done everybody from, you know, Ozzy Osbourne to Deep Purple. Everyone, he's been around the clock. Just finished a Little Mix tour and Leona as well. So he's over here with me. And we've got a great vocal coach, Kaylee Van Keith, who's from New York, who's obviously working with Team Ireland on a daily basis. And that's pretty much it.
So do you think you'll qualify? And if you qualify, where do you think you'll get in the final?
Well, I mean, like anything, it's about winning that first game, to use a football term. We'd love to qualify. It'd be a huge disappointment. Nobody will be more disappointed than me if we don't qualify. We'll give it our best. I think we're in good shape at the moment. But out of the 10 performances that you'll do, you know, you just want to make sure that the one that matters is one of the good ones. Obviously, nerves will play a part. It's a big arena. It's a big stage. And you know, like we're under a lot of pressure out here. But, you know, it's not something that we can't deal with. You know, we just got it. It's 3 minutes of our lives that we'll look back on and hopefully smile about. And if we can get to the final where Ireland belong, then anything can happen, you know. So after the semis, if we're there, then we can start thinking about the final and potentially where we can finish.
Well, listen, you know, I think it's a fantastic song. I met you a couple of weeks ago, bumped into you, and I told you that I think the song is brilliant. And as you say, it's all down to the performance on the evening and how it translates across the TV and with the audience at home. I wish you the very best of luck. Before I let you go though, Nicky, I must ask you one final question. Would you prefer Eurovision or the Euros?
Derek, don't put me in that one. Well, right now it's all about Eurovision for me. So, you know, definitely, you know, qualifying for this, doing well in this, I'll go at Eurovision.
Well, listen, let's hope we can do what Leicester did recently and take the Grand Prix. Nicky, the very best of luck.
Give it a cheer, guys.
Bye.
Go on, Nick.
I think it's a terrific song. I know people have have mixed feelings, let's say. They have mixed feelings about the first rehearsal. I think the second rehearsal was a lot better today. And some people saying that Nicky's not quite hitting the high notes. But when you listen, and they've got... I think they've got backing singers off stage, Paul.
Well,
we're not going to see them on stage.
Well, I'm sure there are one or two, but I mean, that's not the first time that's happened. But here's...
Before we'd explain that to people.
Yeah.
So when you enter, when a country enters, you can have six people
on stage.
On stage.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I looked at the rehearsal today.
Yeah.
There are only four, including Nicky.
Yes.
But I can hear other voices.
But two of them are also musicians as well. His musicians are also singing with him.
But last year's winning song had four singers who were never seen.
That's right, yeah. Mons
really?
Won.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not the first time it's happened. It's happened for many
Swedish
years.
The singer, who's one of the favourites this year, has five that you won't see either.
That's a bit of a job.
Well, it's within the rules. It's okay.
It is within the rules. But you were talking about rehearsals. Okay. Of course, the fan base, who you should never listen to anyway when it comes to that, because, I mean, they really haven't got a clue. Because I'll come to that in a minute.
You can't just say that, Paul.
I can, and I've just said it. Rehearsals are just
to their opinion the same as anybody else's.
But they don't know enough about it.
How you cannot make a statement like that, Paul.
I just
it's really unfair on people who've been supporting this thing for years.
Like I have.
Yes, and I have.
Yeah.
But they are entitled to their opinion. And
they are. But what I'm saying is they don't get it right.
As mine as yours, and don't ditch the fans.
Yes, Paul, I think you have to make an apology to the fans now, in fairness.
They keep it there.
No.
They support it. And they have done so for years.
Hold on.
What I'm saying to you is the rehearsals are just that. They should not be judging their first or second rehearsals. It's the night in question. The juries vote the night before. They're the ones that should be judged, not the rehearsals.
All right.
Rehearsals are there to iron out any problems that arise.
Will I apologise on your behalf, or will you?
No.
I'll do it for you, will I?
Oh, go ahead, Derek, yes.
So on behalf of Paul, I apologise on behalf of Paul to all of the fans who are listening, because Paul's an aficionado. Who supported it?
And
they're entitled to their opinion. And we'd love to hear from you.
I would call myself a fan.
Yes, text 51551 if you're listening and you're a fan. If you're not a fan, text 51551. Now, we have a little competition for you. And the prize is the handbook, the Bible, for this year's Eurovision Song Contest in Stockholm. And it's signed by a Eurovision legend who we'll be meeting after the break. So all you got to do, text 51551, is guess the song. So we have Paul G singing the line of one Eurovision song to the tune of another. Here it is.
Love's been building bridges between your heart and mine. I'm safe here on my island, but I'm out on the edge this time.
You can text 51551. Lots of entries so far. None of you got it right. Shall we hear it again? Text 51551 if you know what it is. The tune of one, the line from one Eurovision song to the tune of another.
Love's been building bridges between your heart and mine. I'm safe here on my island, but I'm out on the edge this time. Built a wall.
Dun, 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 dun. So do you know what it is? Shh, you haven't been introduced yet. We know we're going to have to hear your song, for heaven's sake. Here we go, let's hear it. Yes, she is the winner of a Eurovision Song Contest. 1993, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes.
The venue was Mill Street.
Yes.
And the star, the girl, the Eurovision extraordinaire performer was none other than Niamh Kavanagh.
Songs ever.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, darling. Yes. I'm
glad
worried.
He liked it, Niamh.
I was sitting outside wondering.
Either way.
I'm glad there's
getting
a woman in the studio as well. I'm so excited. I know, actually, funny, when you played the entry and, you know, the da 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 da, I said, I still remember how that felt in Mill Street the first time I came in on the live show, you know, when the actual final, because back then you only did the like three dress rehearsals and the show, so.
Three dress rehearsals?
Yes,
that seems like. How many do they do now, Paul?
The same.
Oh, they do...
You do two for the first semi-final.
And then when it comes to the week itself, they have just the two dress rehearsals on the Monday, another dress rehearsal on the Tuesday afternoon, and then the live TX on.
I just want to be clear, it's exactly the same.
It's exactly the same,
except you do it twice. We did it, obviously, we were on the second semi-final when I went back to Norway. Mm-hmm. And I did...
the equivalent of four Eurovisions.
Excuse me.
And then I did the equivalent of another four Eurovisions.
I was thinking of 1993.
Exactly,
we didn't have the semi-finals in 93. And that's why I was wondering.
That's what I was thinking.
My apologies.
I did the three dress rehearsals and then the actual final.
So did you find it really much harder doing the 2010 when you had to do the semi-final and then the final and all those rehearsals?
Well, you know, part of it was, you know, I wasn't 25 anymore. Let's be very clear, despite the fact that they all thought I had Botox or something, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, no, it was just longer. It was the same job, but it was really fabulous. And you had to refocus for the second one. And because we were on the second semi-final, it was kind of straight into it. But we were slightly euphoric.
Can I ask Niamh a question, if you don't mind?
All right.
Martin Jones.
We are sending singers and songwriters and all the rest of it to Eurovision now. Mm. And the dream, the ambition is to get out of the semi. Surely the ambition should be to win it.
The ambition is always to be proud of what you do on the stage. Mm. You never will ever, ever, ever anticipate what people will choose in a year.
Okay.
That's the truth of it.
Especially nowadays with the public televote, you know, which I personally think has brought it down a little bit, because the public at large really only hear it for the first time on the night by choice.
That is correct.
And they think, oh, well, I'll just vote for this country. If you have diaspora living here from, like, Eastern Europe, they'll vote for their own country, which you're not supposed to do.
You're in such dodgy territory.
Please.
You're giving out about the fans.
Yes.
You're giving out about the public. I have
a comment about that, because actually, because I now live in just past Belfast, I vote for Ireland every time I'm at home on the Eurovision. I'm not even going to pretend. Yeah. And that's not because, of course, every year it's amazing, the entry. No. But you know, the thing is, it is a national or social thing. You vote for what you know. And if there's an artist in it that you like...
Why would you vote against your own country?
You absolutely would not. But still, by and large,
you'd have to agree, the best song
generally
normally
wins. Yeah. Yeah.
So therefore, there'll be a little bit of diaspora voting. They'll have all that there and you'll get a few points from that. Mm-hmm. But by and large, the
Stephen,
best song
by
wins.
And large, the song with the most votes and most points wins.
Which is the... But it's generally what appeals across the road. There's no song that didn't deserve to win. Yes. I can't think of a song that didn't.
Well, in the 2000s, there were lots of songs in that decade, which I find is... I personally think was the worst decade in Eurovision history, was the 2000s.
Because it was pure tele voting.
Most of the songs there that one shouldn't have.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You know, it's a wide and varied church, as we say when we go. And
it is.
You know, we were outside discussing it, and not one of us agreed.
Yes.
You know, on what we were going for. You're looking for different things. So most people who vote now are the people who have the mobile phones at home, and literally they're seeing it for the first time.
Yeah.
And so I generally like to wait. I obviously did all my homework before coming today. I have my notes and all. But actually, you know, I generally like to wait, because you look at the videos online and it's all a totally different game when you go to the big stage. Yeah. They've got to sing live, which is a huge pressure. Mm-hmm. You, despite what everybody thinks, the main singer has to sing their song. And that's the end of the day. And then you have the whole way it comes across, how people will receive it at home. And the truth is, Russia's song, to me, is a front runner, not because it's necessarily the very best song, no more than Sweden was last year, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, that's true.
But it has a stage set that is amazing. Now, to me, what's creeping up behind me is the lovely Israel. Really caught me by surprise, because I listened all through it once and it struck me, but it didn't strike me as strong. But all week I've been going, that's that.
Yeah, and your stage presence is hugely important as well. Yeah. Nicky Byrne, the one thing he doesn't lack is stage presence. He knows exactly how to look down the
line. This is what the juries have to note as well. Niamh, you were on the jury a few years ago.
I was.
Yes, we had you on the jury. And
Paul, you better explain that. I just want to be clear, you've never called me since.
I haven't been allowed to. The rules state that you have to sit 2 years out of it.
I'm well past 2 years now. Okay, Paul, just telling you that.
You were 3 years.
Paul, you better explain that. Actually, it might be... Just a moment. We'll have Ivor in just a moment. But just quickly, would you just describe or explain to people how the voting is going to work this
year?
Certainly, but now quickly.
It's really confusing.
Very quickly, yes. You have, obviously, you will still have the 50-50 jury vote and televote, okay? When they call the spokespeople in the 42 countries, they're going to give the jury vote only. The downside is all they're going to do is give the 12-point scores, not the 8 or the 10. They will come up visually and they'll make no reference to that. So once they've been across the 42 nations, then you will see the scoreboard will then add more points for the 26th up to the 11th placed songs, and then
I'm
the
lost.
Presenters will announce the top 10 for the public that the public have voted
public
for
vote across
all over Europe. And so it's an amalgamation of all 42 countries' votes.
But the public still have an opportunity to vote.
Yes,
there's still a televote.
Oh, yes.
That's the important.
Yes.
That's all people need to know. Can I pick up the phone? Can I pick up the phone? And no, it's 50-50. Can I pick up
the
phone
best.
And cast my vote? Just like the local elections or the Brexit election, which is taking place on the...
I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you, Paul.
You can't vote in that.
Paul, I'll be honest with you. I think you should be a bit more definite about your opinions on this. I don't think you should hold back quite so much.
Can I just say, when I spoke to Nicky earlier, we didn't include it in the little interview that we played there for you, but he told me that he'd called Shane Filan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, the name's gone out of my head. Shane, name the boy West Life.
Marcus.
I think it was Shane and was it Shane? Yeah. Shane and Keane. Oh, I can't remember. He rang somebody from West Life and he said they were really supportive because he said he was a bit nervous.
Yes, well, he would be.
And I'm surprised.
I'll tell you why, because although he's been probably at that, and I know for sure he's actually played that arena many times with West Life, it's one thing to do it with a group, it's another on your own, and the focus is right on him. Mm-hmm. And I think he's more than equal to the task. He's very charismatic.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a great song. You know, it's boppy, it's whatever it is. And the truth is, he's going out there and he's got the right attitude. Go out and give it the best socks you can give it and enjoy the experience and be proud of what you do.
Okay, put your headphones on, guys, if you would, please, because on the line now from Stockholm we have Ivor Little, who's coordinator of commentators at the Eurovision Song Contest. And it was actually Ivor who edited the Eurovision Bible, which we'll be giving away to somebody very shortly. Ivor, hello, good evening to you.
Good evening, Derek.
So, describe the scene for the benefit of people who've never been or had the pleasure of being at the Eurovision Song Contest. What's going on? What's it like?
Well, I'm speaking to you from Marty Whelan's commentary box, actually, and looking onto the stage. At the minute, there's Denmark rehearsing. But this is a complete Eurovision bubble we're living in. They actually call it the Eurovision bubble now. Everything's Eurovision.
Well, I'm told that there are some threats, or I've heard of some threats to people's security from various organisations. Is it true? I mean, have there been threats, or that's just kind of malicious rumours going on? And has there been extra security? What's on hand? I mean, are there more personnel? You've been at all the Eurovision, so what's going on there? Are people very worried?
Well, I haven't seen people more unduly worried than usual. I mean, there are threats, let's face it, in every country to everyone at the present time in Europe. The Eurovision would be a target. I think maybe in previous years, maybe the most danger to Eurovision would have been threats from music lovers.
You know, I remember in Mill Street, actually, there was a bomb scare in one of the things. So it's not unique to this year. And I think it's every year there's an element because it's such a huge
and it's a live
stage.
Television event. Yes.
And obviously it's a target. But, you know, I don't think you wander around concerned about it.
Not at all. I mean, I remember it was 73, I think, was the first time they had the very tight security because Israel were making their debut that year. And remember, this was only like 7 or 8 months after the Olympics massacres in Munich, you know.
Yeah,
blanket security. And if anybody stood up to applaud in the Luxembourg Auditorium, but they were told the chances are they could be shot.
Oh, my goodness. Ivor, can I ask you a very quick question? Are you sitting in Marty's chair?
I am sitting in Marty's chair.
I didn't even get to do that.
Actually, Niamh, it's we're actually speaking to you from what is normally a bar, a restaurant.
No way. Yeah. I can't believe Marty would ever be there.
No.
Marty's flying out tomorrow.
Wouldn't like Marty at all. The chairs are lovely. They're like a cross between an office chair and a bar stool.
Fabulous. Ooh. Fabulous. Well,
all this new cares about a chair. Tell me, I was talking to Nicky earlier. He was quite happy with his performance in the second rehearsal. We know what's about how it goes on the night, but your impression, you were there, so how did he do?
I saw it on a monitor and it looked fantastic to me. The thing about Nicky is he really has the stage presence. You know, it's you can't buy that. You know, he and he's a great ambassador for Ireland. All his meet and greets are there. It's like somebody just talking to you in their living room. You know, it's a complete. Yeah, the other ones are you know, the thing about Eurovision, these people are treated like Madonna for 2 weeks. But Nicky, he's got his feet firmly on the ground, and he's doing a great job.
Now, we've been looking at some online chat rooms in the past few days, and to non-Europeans, Eurovision is quite a mystery, it seems. One person wrote, "As far as I can tell, there's some sort of gay music Olympics going on that only Europe was invited to.
what's all this Eurovision and gay people all about? But, and you've been quoted as saying that Eurovision is an important counterpoint to heterosexual culture. Can you expand on that for me, please?
Have I been quoted as saying that?
You have, yes.
In what's been drunk?
I think I was there.
Oh, yes, you probably were, Niamh.
No, shh. Don't be telling people.
Pray tell more. What did you mean?
Well, actually, when you think of when you were growing up on a Saturday night, it was football. Put on match of the day, want to see this and that. But once a year, you had your Eurovision, and sort of, you know, you said, oh, well, I want to see that. That's a window to the world. And I think that a lot of the gays have maybe felt a little bit cut out of other things. They looked at Eurovision and saw that's something that, you know, we can relate to. That's something big. That's something, it's something out there.
Paul, you're nodding your head. Do you agree or disagree?
Can I just point out here, since the beginning of time, Eurovision has always been a family event as well. You sit down in your house, whether it's parents, children, that everybody watches it, regardless of your sexual orientation. People do watch the event.
But I get that. Like, as a young
person. Event, all right. But yeah. I mean, there's plenty of gay families as well.
Yeah. As a young gay person in Northern Ireland growing up in the 70s, like, the Eurovision was your first glimpse of this world. It's your first
sparkle.
The first sparkle of camp and
it's
brilliance.
It's a music show.
And something different. But it's more than that. It's more than a music show.
It is.
It's about spectacle. It's about everything. It's
drama.
It's
drama. But is it not a better show? Because, let's say, loads of people from the gay and lesbian community throw themselves into it and
endorse it.
It's a TV director's nightmare today because, you know, when they've planned their shots. And this is my sympathies lie with the TV director now.
I understand.
Yeah, because also, you know, when they're planning their shots and they want to give it everything and they want to, you know, plan, they look at the visual aspect, the bloody flags and banners are in the way.
But are they not all banned this year?
No, they haven't banned them.
What's that got to do with the gay community kind of taking to Eurovision Song Contest?
It's mainly.
Again, here we are.
Yeah, but it's the audience. It's the audience's
statements that are not true, Paul. Okay,
they are true.
You cannot make statements.
You see
like
the
that.
Flags.
That's a very big statement.
No, you see the flags. Just one point. Hey, hang on a second. We don't want to start another European war. But what's wrong with waving flags? I don't see the problem with waving the flag. But that just adds colour. In
Derek,
see, Paul, you want to hark back to the old days when you turned up in your tuxedo and all, and sat down nice and refined, and you just lightly applauded.
Nobody uttered a word during the songs nowadays, because I've been in the final more years than I care to remember. Before
you and I have had this conversation before.
People talk now during the songs, and I find that excruciatingly,
but they're usually celebrating. They say this is a great song.
They're
it's all
singing.
Part of
they
the
can
love
do that
and the
before
embracing
the song
of
and
it.
After the song, but
Paul,
during
Eurovision
the song, they're talking.
Can I just wait a second? Wait a second. Can I go back to what you were saying, Paul? You said that when you were growing up in Belfast,
Just in County Tyrone,
in Gumleshka, that this was there's an outlet for you. This was something you embraced. This is something that you recognised, identified with.
Absolutely, It was the first release. My first memories is Brotherhood of Man, 1976. I was 5 years of age, and I remember watching it and just falling madly, madly in love with it. I actually learned all the words of the song, could do all the dance routines for the song, and that's at the tender age of five. And I just fell in love with this beautiful, big, outlandish world. Even back then in the 70s, it still had that campness, that little
of
bit of drama. It was brilliant.
No, it didn't. I go back a few years earlier than you, because, I mean, I was five in the late 60s, okay? And, I mean, you know, for me, because I was always a lover of pop music, that was just an extension of this. The stars from various European countries watching Dana win it in 70, but for me, 74 obviously was the turning point. ABBA, Waterloo, that changed the face of everything.
And we all sat in silence listening to it.
This is brilliant.
They don't come any butcher than Dana. So, I mean, the point is that people see it as they experience it
that's
the way
exactly
they.
Right.
You're not gay, you're not straight, you're not anything. But there is no question, Paul. There is absolutely no question. It does attract a gay audience, and gay people like it. And that's just the reality. That doesn't mean everybody watching it is
people
in the closet.
I would just like to say, speaking as someone who watched it growing up and also watches it with her family, but also experiences of the, you know, being involved in it. Yeah. You know, the truth is, you're right. The avid fans tend to be from the gay community. That's 100%. But there are also people who just love watching it. And so it is a combination of the two. I think there's no doubt. The
most gigs I get from it come from the gay community. So that, you know, that's it. That's true. And you know, I'm okay with that.
Because and where would you go? What kind of gigs would you be doing?
All sorts of. You wouldn't believe what they have to do. No, but actually, you know, it's a fantastic thing. You go and you sing, and I always like to go and sing. You know, past Eurovision hits, generally not from the noughties, to be fair, because I don't know them terribly well. But you know, it's a celebration. They're a part of all of it. But to be fair, when I was growing up, I don't think I was aware of that. You know, that element, because really, you know, it was in the 70s, you know, and so it wasn't as obvious. Certainly, there's nothing more shinier or sparklier on television than the Eurovision show, you know, as a spectacle.
Well, not since I've done Stop Reading the News, no.
You know, but that's not to say that gay people are only attracted to sparkly things.
Remember that around the time of ABBA, and this was still the era of glam rock, okay?
Yeah.
All pop stars wore outfits like that on top of the
David
pops
Bowie.
On any other show. David Bowie, there you go. And T-Rex. They all wore that because these were all the glam rockers. ABBA decided their stage presentation that year was to mirror that because they're keeping with the times, you know? So it was a golden V-Day pop
now,
song.
Too, Paul. And we need to stop. And I love the old Eurovisions as well as you do. I hop after them. I think they were great contests. Some of the biggest hits came from them. But you need to move it along or else it'll just die.
Speaking of moving it along, Ivor, you're still there. I see the USA will be
Hello, Ivor.
Ivor, the USA are screening the Eurovision this year for the first time on a cable network. Is it Logo? Is that the name of the network?
A very small network. I think that's the name of it. I think it's mainly a network game aimed at the gay community. But another thing we have here in the commentators' box is we have China commentating on the Eurovision.
China?
Yes.
Yep. So that means they'll be in it next year.
My goodness. By the way, how come Australia are back in it this year? They were only in last year as a one-off for the 60th anniversary because they watch it down under. And now they're back again.
Well, you know, Australia, you get the foot in the door, you can't get rid of it.
So next year we can expect a delegation from the United States and from China.
Possibly China.
I can't wait. My goodness, I wonder how many people... Well, has it been shown then in China? Presumably it is.
It's been shown, I think it's mainly internet streaming. They were commentating last year. And as you say, it's very difficult to explain Eurovision to people who have not grown up with it. And the one question the Chinese asked me, but why does nobody get 9 points?
That's a really good question.
Dana did. From Belgium.
She did. And in fact, that's right. They did. They came in and gave her 9 points.
Well, under the new voting system, nobody can get 9 points. No. But there's no rhyme or reason to it. But that's the way it is. And that's the way we want to keep it.
OK, well, everybody stay quiet. Ivor, who are favourites out there?
Oh, it changes from day to day, Derek. I mean, I have stopped listening. As Paul said earlier, the rehearsals are rehearsals, but you can gauge a little bit from the rehearsals. And some people, of course, come up in the rehearsals, and other people's maybe, you know, that were favourites before, they go down a little bit. Martin says that France has gone down in his estimation after the rehearsal. But a few countries have certainly come up, like Iceland has come up greatly. Dark horses like Armenia have come up. That was a big fan favourite. And another one the fans are raving about is a French song sung by an Austrian girl.
Yeah, great song. It's a lovely song.
Well, look, we look forward to Ivor. Thank you very much indeed. We'll talk to you again. Enjoy the Eurovision Song Contest. Some comments coming in. I don't care what you're all talking about, Derek Mooney. It's just great to hear you all back together. I miss you all so much. Sheila in Firhouse. Yeah. Hi, guys. JP Callagh here in County Louth. I'm a massive Eurovision fan. On my annual week off work now to coincide with the Eurovision week, my personal favourites are Azerbaijan, Austria and Poland. Can you please ask Paul G what he thinks of the Austrian entry? Throwback to years past. I think it's amazing, he says.
Yeah, the one this year.
Yes.
Yes, I do like it. I don't think it's going to be up there in the top five, but a certain qualifier,
it's
I reckon.
A very Disneyfied presentation of it, though. I think it's kind of weird. I watched the rehearsal of it the other day and I was like, it was just so Disney that it was so messy.
And she's written the song herself with her father.
Do you like it? Yeah.
It's strange.
It's not my overall favourite now, but I don't dislike it.
All right. Hi, Derek. I'm having a right laugh at this conversation. If you had to put your house on a bet, what country, says a Mayo listener? Well, I'd put it on Sweden. In fact, I have put it on Sweden.
No, Sweden is terrible.
No, it's not terrible.
Hang on a second.
It's not terrible.
Hang on a second.
You put.
Will you let me answer the man's question?
Sure.
I'd put it on Sweden. If I were sorry, yes. Franz is the name of the singer.
Which is a massive
hit. He's a little Justin Bieber, yeah. and it's going to be terrific. It's and I think it's going to win. Now, go on.
No, but if you put Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber very cynically together, you come up with Franz.
That is rubbish.
It is the most cynical, boring song.
Did they not do that in a song already?
Pardon?
They have.
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber had a song called Sorry Already. Yeah, so it's a blatant rip-off.
But Stephen, I was at the Melody Festival this year in Stockholm two months ago. And, you know, there were 10 very good songs in the Swedish final this year. But Franz, I'm afraid the song was not the best one.
I disagree.
Brenda, have you seen Franz?
Yes. Oh, hi, Derek. Yes, I've seen Franz. And in fact, I was talking to Stephen about it. I was saying, is that song in English or French? This is really strange. But I like it. It's number two for me, the French song. Spain, number one. France,
not France.
Israel.
France is the name of the singer from Sweden.
The Swedish singer.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Have we got Sweden there?
Because let me hear it.
In fairness to everybody, we shouldn't let them hear it. Here's my money's as the winner. I'm listening to it now. So there you are. I won't be sorry I put my few quid on Franz. I put €1.50 on Franz. That's not France, that's France.
France. Yeah, France.
Okay. Sweden, if I were sorry, and I put €1 on Nicky Byrne.
Derek, do you realise that if Sweden wins, A, they become the fifth country to win two back-to-back, and they level with us in the terms of victories, okay?
That's okay.
There you go.
I don't feel threatened in any way by that.
No.
But look at the facilities that Sweden put into Eurovision.
Yes.
I mean, Melody Festival and the way they go about picking their song and the way they embrace it and the way people watch it and adore it. And as you say, it's going to be the biggest thing this year in Sweden by a mile. It's going to be massive. The whole thing is just a fantastic thing to watch, to be part of. And I wouldn't mind if Sweden won it again. And they have a very, very good chance.
I wouldn't either.
To be fair, a lot of the writers across the board in other countries are Swedish also.
Yeah, they are, yes.
But they're also in the charts. So that's
But they didn't
write
your song.
There were Swedish people in the second song.
In the second song?
No, but not in the first one.
The first
you
one
didn't
was
win with
the gorgeous Jimmy Walsh.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, it doesn't lessen
No, I don't mean that in a negative way.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't let the winner.
No, I'm kidding. I'm offended. No, I'm not. But, you know, to be honest, you're right. You're right, actually. It's very true. Jimmy Walsh, the Irish writer.
Can I tell you something? I'm glad you asked me.
Yeah.
I think that if you're entering a song, it should be an Irish singer or an Italian singer or a French singer or a Swiss or Swedish. And the writers must be from that nation also.
Yes. Doesn't always work that way, Derek, because Luxembourg and Monaco, you see, always borrowed from France and other countries.
I know, but I kind of miss the time, and I do actually miss the national languages. I do too. There's a huge lack of them this year.
If you heard it, you would have heard it on the Dawn Chorus last week.
That is correct.
I met Niamh Kavanagh in Killarney. Oh. She is class. Johnny Logan is a legend. Yeah. Block voting has ruined it. Please play Nicky Byrne's song, we will. And please say hello to my gorgeous daughter, Alison Schrauer. It's a lovely name. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. I love her so much, from her mammy who's listening in. Please tell Niamh Kay it is unacceptable that she, with her soulful voice, went out of the entertainment industry and Bleeding Jedward are still in it.
Niamh is still here.
I am still here.
Yeah. Where have you been, Peter?
Trust me,
Jedward,
you can find me.
Derek, some of us straight people like Eurovision too, increasingly we seem to have to apologise to other straight people for doing so,
says
Ed Sheeran.
There's a lot of great parties that are held by multiple, the public in general.
It's very interesting. I was saying it to you, Stephen, my two teenage daughters who think they're really cool and like the Stripes and Catfish and the whatever are all having Eurovision parties.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they're so into it because the tunes are so poppy. So, i.e., whether you're gay, straight, whatever, it is relevant to a younger generation at the moment. It is appealing to
them. That's what will keep it alive and keep it going. And so we should all positively embrace that.
Yeah, Brendan Conroy says, guys, gay people may well love the Eurovision, but we heterosexuals have loved it for years too. Yeah. He's dead right.
Yeah. He's right.
The Eurovision is for everyone. You can visit our website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. We asked which Eurovision song Paul sang to the words of another. Anne Fallon from Roscommon tells us that the words are In Your Eyes by Niamh Kavanagh and the music was Take Me to Your Heaven by Charlotte Nielsen. That correct, Paul G?
It is correct.
Yay!
Yes.
Well done.
Wait, hang on a second. I've got to do all the thank you bits. What have I done with the thank you bits? Well, thank you guys first. So thank you to Stephen Falloon. Thanks to Brenda. Thanks to Niamh. Thanks to Martin. Thanks to Paul. Our producer today, Anna Leddy. Our broadcast coordinator is Sinead Renshaw. And on sound, we have Ruth. Kennington. Ruth Kennington, thank you, Ruth, very much indeed. I've lost the bits and pieces, I'm sorry, but I know that you can watch the Eurovision on RTE television on Tuesday and Thursday and on Saturday. That's the first, second semi-final and the final. And then right here on Thursday and Saturday on RTE Radio 1, Spishak Zelinski and Neil Doherty will be doing the commentary for RTE Radio 1. So you
and
get
Marty
it on radio.
And Marty on TV as well. Don't forget Marty.
How could we forget him?
Yep, you can't forget him.
But he won't let us.
He flies out tomorrow.
Paul, nice. Yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you. This is our last program. We'll be back in the autumn, I hope. Just taking the sights and sounds. Hold on to me and let me hold on to you. We don't look back, we'll let it slide out of view. There's no tomorrow, so let's live in the here and now. We'll be standing out in the sun. Just touch you. Follow us on Twitter at RTE Mooney.